We're back in Acts again, chapter 5 this time. Arrested again. How about that? A verse that I think is one of the key verses in this section is from verse 29. Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men." You got it?
Yeah.
Because you'll need to know that as life gets a little more complicated as time goes on. Yes, and the world gets more hostile to being a follower of Jesus. We may have to say the same as Peter says and the others. We must obey God rather than men. So let's have a little look at chapter 5 from verse 17 onwards. Before we get there, just a little bit to set the background. Previously, at the end of the last chapter, the end of that last section in chapter 5, verse 16, the people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Isn't that wonderful? This is what God was doing through the apostles at that time. Here, the ministry of grace was at work, Jesus' name being exalted, Jesus being preached as the Messiah, and people are getting saved and healed. And everybody's glad, aren't they? No! They're not! Because the authorities are feeling rather miffed about this. They're not looking quite as shiny as they'd like to be. And so, what happens is in verse 17, then the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. Great, eh? The authorities are mostly members here of the Sadducee party. A miserable lot, a godless lot. They've got that mindset that, you know, it's us and nobody else who should be in charge and should be getting the praises and the glory. I hope you're not like that, because it's not a good place to be. And jealousy, what a terrible thing to have, isn't it? And there they are. They've got everything, haven't they? They're in charge, they've got all the prestige and everything else, and yet somebody else gets a little light shine on them, and they're upset. Well, so what do? This time they rounded up all the other apostles as well. So they got all the apostles, I think. And the reason they rounded them up was because they had broken their law. I've written it as their law. What had happened was, they passed the rules, and they make the rules to suit themselves. And so the apostles are breaking the law by going around healing people and telling people about Jesus. Terrible, isn't it? But that's how it goes in some parts. And it was like that there. But God holds the master key. I love this, it's great. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. "Go, stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people the full message of this new life." At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. Great, eh? You can lock the disciples up, but God knows how to break the locks. So there they are, they're getting out again, and they've been given renewed instructions. I think that's an encouragement for them. The angel tells them, go and do what you've been doing. So it means that what they were doing was the right thing.
Yeah.
It's an encouragement. Keep it up, lads, is what they're really saying, yeah? So, and the thing that's important is, again, as I mentioned, their faith is at work rather than their fear. In the morning, what do? They don't do a runner. They go out and do exactly as the angel had told them from the Lord's instructions. They went out and began to teach the people in the temple courts. That's called believing and obeying God.
Yeah.
And they did. So, wonderful. So, here comes the puzzle. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin. That's the top parliament, you know, top lot. The full assembly of the elders of Israel. And they sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. They turned up empty cell. They're gone. Here, this, I call this the top security breakout. This really is top security breakout, as you'll see in the next little section. They've all disappeared. And they can't have escaped, can they? So what's happened? Well, there we go. What happens is they pass on the puzzle. They go back to the Sanhedrin. So they went back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked, with the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." On hearing this report, The captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were puzzled, wondering what would come of this. Well, top security. Guards are still there, the doors are still locked, and yet somehow, whoosh, they've gone. Did you know the angel locked the door after he left?
Yeah.
Isn't that good, eh? Just to add to the little mystery of his all, it's brilliant. It really is, yes. Anyway, from what's happened, this ought to be a clue to these thick-headed people that something unusual is going on with the apostles. But will they get it? Jealousy blinds them, I'm afraid. So here they are, wondering what on earth has happened to them. Then someone came and said, look, they're at it again. The men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people. At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. Notice it says brought the apostles rather than arrested the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. Well, you're not surprised, is it? I mean, you come along and you get blessed and you get healed and your relatives are sorted out, and then these soldiers want to come and arrest them. They're asking for trouble. Right, so they rearrested them gently in public, of course. Always in public. They've got to look good on the front, but round the back, maybe different. But the people at this point in time are on their side, obviously. They're getting blessed. Great. So once they brought them out of the public area to behind closed doors, now things are going to be different. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. Now, notice now it's not they asked them to appear before the high priest, they made them. Getting a bit heavy now. Right. And they say this, the authority, we gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, he said, and yet you filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. And this man, they won't even use his name, Jesus of Nazareth. Right? You're trying to make us guilty of this man's blood. And do you know why they're trying to make them guilty of this man's blood? Because they are! And they don't like it. Oh no, they don't like it. Right, so, you have done rotten things. You shouldn't have done it. And what does Peter and the other apostles reply? We must obey God rather than men. Notice their faith in the face of threats. Here are the these are powerful people. They're not cardboard or anything. These are powerful people that they are threatening these apostles. And yet Peter and the others, in the face of these threats, operate in faith. Because they know God's bigger than men. And God's on their side. Well, best put it this way, they're on the side of God. And therefore they can rely on God to help them. And the interesting thing is they say, we must obey God. So, you know, they're all backing each other up. It's good when you're in a tight spot to have brothers and sisters who support you, isn't it? So there they are. We must obey God rather than men and all the others say, amen, yes. Right, so that's their answer. So, of course, the authorities realise that they're doing the wrong thing now, aren't they? Yes, and they're going to be nice now, aren't they? No. So Peter tells them, the God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Saviour, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. So that's the message. There's an empty cross, you crucified him, and there's an empty tomb. He got up again. And he says to them, the God of our fathers. So he's relating them back to the Israelites in the background, of course. And he's raised Jesus from the dead, who you killed by hanging him on a tree. Now, did they hang him on a tree? Well, it was a cross. But you know what a cross is made out of? It's made out of a tree. Yes. And what Peter is doing is he's referring them back to the Old Testament passage where it says, cursed is anyone who is hung on a tree. That's where it goes from, yes? Jesus carried the curse. That's what he's told them. He was hung on a tree, and yet God's exalted him, where? To his own right hand. He's not down here, he's not in disgrace, he's at the top. Fantastic. And he's Prince and Saviour. And he's not just there to look good, he's there to do a job. He's there to give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. That's an offer to them. If they repent and receive forgiveness, they'll be included. But they're not listening, of course. Yeah. That he might give repentance and forgiveness. Isn't that wonderful that Jesus offers us forgiveness?
Yeah.
But better than that, he offers us repentance. You know, you won't want forgiveness unless you realise that you're wrong.
Yeah.
And repentance is part of that, to realise, Lord, I realise I've made mistakes, I realise I've sinned, I realise I've been stupid, and I ask your forgiveness. Well, Jesus gives you both. Isn't that wonderful?
Mm.
I think Jesus is wonderful, you know. Yes?
Yeah.
So that's the gospel. And he says, we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Is that lovely, eh? He's really saying is that, you know, we're not the only ones who are testifying. It's not just us. It's the Holy Spirit. If you want to shut us up, you want to shut up the Holy Spirit as well. So he's saying the Holy Spirit is the one who's bearing witness to what we've seen and heard, and God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. Now there's a double edge to that one, isn't there? Yeah? We are obeying God. You aren't obeying God. It's about time you did. Obey means we believe and do what he says. That's why we've been teaching the people and praying for them, because he told us to do it. Now they're really happy now. Not a good response. When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. Isn't that great, eh? Yes. You realise they've just invented the capital punishment for not liking somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. They make up the rules. That's how they do it. Yeah. So, what made them react in this way? Why did they get so uptight about the apostles and how they answered them? Well, I think they felt a little threatened, to be honest. Somehow, here are these nobodies talking up to them, as if they're equals with them. You know, and they don't like it. That old pride gets in the way. Here they are, they're the big wigs, they're supposed to tell everybody what to do. And here, these guys are claiming a higher authority than them. That's what upsets them. They are claiming somebody's bigger than they are. And they would theoretically acknowledge God was bigger than they are, but it won't make any difference to them, whereas when they see somebody who actually lives it and believes it, they get very jealous. So, not happy. Not happy at all. So, they want to kill him. But here comes the man with just a minute. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law who was honoured by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that men be put outside for a little while. So, the voice of reason comes from a respected speaker. He's called Rabbi Gamaliel, a very well-known and famous man. Something about Gamaliel as well. He was the man who taught the Apostle Paul before he became Paul. He taught him as Saul of Tarsus. Yeah? So he's a top-notch expert in the law, Pharisee, man who believed the Bible. That's what the Pharisees did. Yeah. And so he speaks up and says, oh, just a minute. Right. Let the men be put outside for a little while. I want a private word, gentlemen. That's what he's going to say. Then he says this. He addressed them, men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, and all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. And after him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census, and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Well, he's giving them a history lesson. They know these things. I mean, it's not news to them. But what he's doing is he's taking what's happened and making them think about it in order to apply it to the present. So he tells them about this guy called Theudas. We don't know anything about him, but he was somebody who made a big noise for a while and then gone. And then this guy called Judas the Galilean. The Galileans were a bit of an awkward squad in many ways. And they led a revolt against the Romans in particular during the days of the census. That's one that took place around about 6 AD or something like that. What happened was it all came to nothing. He too was killed and his followers were scattered. So the lesson that Gamaliel is trying to teach us is nothing came out of nothing. If it's no good, it's not going to get very far. That's his argument. Therefore, I advise you in the present case, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose of act or activity is of human origin, it will fail. In other words, nothing will come of nothing. It didn't in the past, and it won't now. That's his argument. Well, what's going on there? Why is he defending the believers? Let them go, he says. Leave them. Why is he defending the believers? Well, we don't know. He doesn't tell us. But could it just be that he actually might be a secret disciple? That, you know, Nicodemus, his mate in the Sanhedrin, another fellow Pharisee, he was a believer, as it turns out, and he put his colours on the mast when he went and had Jesus buried. Well, maybe Gamaliel's in the same boat, keeping his head down a bit, but speaking up for the disciples, we don't know. I hope he was. Right, and he says, this is his argument. His argument is, if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. That's a good argument he's using with them. Is it true? In the long run, yes. In the long run, yes. But, let me tell you this, there are an awful lot of cults around that have been going for a long time. Why haven't they fizzled out? Because the enemy keeps feeding them. Yes? That's one of the things. It may be of human origin, or it may be of demonic origin. Yeah, and it might last for a while. It's all going to fail one day. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. But, you know, it can last a while. But Gamaliel is saying is, you know, you've seen in the past, it's not of God, it's going to peter out. That's the way it is, yeah? So, that's his argument. But, this is his second bit, but if it's from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. Do you know, I get the feeling that he thinks it might be from God. That's why he's using that argument. He's really saying, if it's from God, you're going to have trouble. You won't be able to fight against them because you'll find yourselves fighting against God. That's a good argument. Is it true?
Yeah.
It is. That one is definitely true. You try fighting God, you know he's going to win.
Yeah.
Right. Now, would that make any difference? Them knowing that they're fighting against God make any difference to these ungodly leaders? I doubt it. They're more interested in what's happening now in their little world, but that's Gamaliel's argument. He says, it won't come to anything, and it might be you're fighting God, so I'd pack it in if I were you. So that's his argument. His speech persuaded them, so they didn't decide to kill him after all. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. That's nice, isn't it? Innocent men, and so what do they do? Well, we'll rough them up a bit. They had them flogged. And when he says flogged, brothers and sisters, that's not a pleasant experience. They knew how to beat people. Yeah, they had them flogged. And then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they repeat their message, don't tell anybody about Jesus. Well, they know that's not going to happen. Anyway, what happened was, they didn't get killed. Why weren't the apostles killed? Some get killed later on, you know. Why weren't they killed here? Well, the Lord overruled for the benefit of the apostles, yes, but also the gospel's in its early stages. God's using these people to share the good news. So the progress of the gospel is part of the working that God's doing in this situation. And just, it's a reminder to them, when they get flogged, that the threats are real. They're not playing games, these leaders. They mean business and they're nasty, right? So they tell them, don't do it again, and you can go now. That's nice of them, isn't it, yeah? Generous lot. So what happens is, they go. In pain and still rejoicing. Just listen to this. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they've been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name.
Yeah.
That's wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Here, somehow, they managed to know the joy of the Lord in the middle of what was... I'm sure they were in pain. I mean, you don't get flogged by this lot and not feel it. But I must say this. It can happen. I once met a dear man. His name was Carol Kulik. He was formerly a Roman Catholic priest. And he was eventually sent to Dachau concentration camp for harbouring Jews. And... while he was there, they tried torturing him, you know, things under his nails and everything else. And he says they had to stop because he never felt anything. It's not amazing. And you know, there was a revival in the camp where he was. A revival in Dachau concentration camp. God is not locked out. He can work in people's lives. Anyway, whatever these disciples felt, it didn't stop them rejoicing, is what I'm getting at. And he says they rejoiced because they were counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. They knew what they were going through had a purpose. It was bringing glory to the Lord. And they were suffering disgrace for that. What's the name? It's the Lord's name. The name is God, is what it's about. But it's Jesus who they're obviously focusing on. And of course, the Lord had warned them these things were going to happen. He told them they could expect such things. And it was a proof that they were being faithful to the Lord. So let me take you back to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. These are Jesus' words. We call them the Beatitudes. You know the blessings? Do you like the blessings? Poor in spirit? Yeah. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They'll be filled. Blessed are the peacemakers because they'll enjoy the peace of God and all that. And then you get to the end. And how many times do you read this bit? Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. That's one of the Beatitudes, brothers and sisters. One of your blessings. To be thankful when you're persecuted and reviled because of him. And that's what they were doing. And we'll see in Acts it happens time and time again. How did they do it? They were human like you and me. They felt pain. They were just as fallible and as weak as we are. But they met with the Lord. They had the Holy Spirit working in them. They were full of the Spirit. And so they were able to be different. There's a message I was reading just briefly the other day about a man who was imprisoned. I believe he was a missionary in Turkey. He was an American. He was a missionary. And they locked him up and they put him in solitary. And he says he was surprised at how quickly he broke. And he's going around telling people, you know, the reason he broke was that he really wasn't prepared for what was coming. And he wasn't aware that, you know, they could really put the pressure on him. And so he's going around telling believers, you know, before trouble comes, we need to be ready. That's what these disciples were. They'd met with the Lord, they were full of the Spirit, they were rejoicing in God's goodness. So Jesus says to them, rejoice and be glad, for your great is your reward in heaven. Right? You might not see much down here, but you're storing up gold up there. And the other is, it's a proof that you're in the right side. Because they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Just like they did to them in the past. They're doing that to you now, so it means you're on the right side. That's a confirmation for you. So there they are, in pain and still rejoicing. So they were glad because they were counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. I don't know if you think that's a strange way of phrasing it, to be counted worthy to suffer. Perhaps the Lord sees some of us and thinks we're so wimpish, he won't even put us through the trials, you know? I don't know. But anyway, they thought it was an honour to suffer disgrace for Jesus. And it is. As many would testify. And so finally, what do? Do they cow? Do they bow down? Do they give up and run away? Or is faith still going to work instead of fear? Mm-hmm. Well, day after day, you got that? Mm-hmm. Day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stop teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. You can't stop them. Isn't that fantastic? Day after day means they kept going. And where did they keep going? In the temple courts, in the area where they told they weren't supposed to be. Because people need Jesus. And they weren't going to let these miserable authorities stop them sharing this good news with people that needed to hear it. And they went from house to house. Well, they were invited in as well, obviously. And they never stopped teaching about Jesus and proclaiming the good news. That's the trumpet, you know. That's not an apology. They didn't apologize for the good news. They proclaimed it. Yes, and the good news is Jesus is the Messiah. Isn't that great? And so that's what they continued doing. Wonderful. So they got arrested for that. And do you think the authorities are going to give up? No. But we'll see how things pan out as we go along in Acts in the future. We'll leave it for there. But I just want to share with you one picture at the end. And it's just a bit of, well, it's not advertising, but just to let you know where I get the pictures from quite often. It's an organisation called Free Bible Images. That's nice, free, I like the free bit. Free Bible Images. And it says the pictures were drawn by an artist called Jim Padgett. Well, actually, I put several other pictures in besides, so I put some of the pictures were by him. But it's good to acknowledge others' work, that's the thing, you know. And, well, we thank God for what he's done and provided us with some rather nice pictures, I think. So let's pray, shall we? Thank you, Lord, for the faith of these disciples as an example to us, Lord. We recognize, Lord, that we need your grace, the help of your Holy Spirit. For, Lord, we are weak and feeble creatures. Lord, we're not heroes, but we thank you that, Lord, Holy Spirit can make us different people. And we bless you, Lord, for your grace to us. And, Lord, we remember this morning brothers and sisters around the world who were facing exactly what Peter and the other apostles faced then. Lord, the hostility, the jealousy, the madness of some people in authority, Lord, who hate the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters, you help them to be strong and keep them faithful and true to you, come what may. Lord, we ask you, grant us grace to be faithful to you. And Lord, to remember, Lord, that we are to obey God rather than men. Lord, thank you that we have a high King, ruler over all, a Prince and a Saviour, whose name is Jesus. And Lord, we want to lift that name up. Help us to do it. In Jesus' name, Father. Amen. Amen.